Hello and welcome to Nerd Girl Musings Podcast. My name is Jen and I'm so glad you're here. So let's talk today about the movie Damsel, because I just loved the movie poster. I was scrolling around and it popped up for me and it looked amazing. And if you've been listening to my podcast for any length of time, you know that I love Millie Bobby Brown. Loved her in Stranger Things. She did fantastic in Enola Holmes. And now we have Damsel. Clearly, Netflix has some kind of a contract with her to keep her getting these leading roles. Now, I feel like, so I noticed she's also an executive producer of the film, and it feels kind of like where singers also start, quote unquote, writing their songs. Because that way they get the credit to be a writer. So I feel like as a young person, she is becoming an executive producer to get the title. So that way, maybe it sets her up later on down the road. But, you know, these aren't typical roles. And that's the thing that I have always loved about her. She's a phenomenal actress. But I feel like we've entered the awkward years. And maybe that is common. It can be hard for a child actor to transition into an adult. So with that being said, we're gonna talk through Damsel. I've been waiting on this for a little while because I wanted to make sure everyone had a chance to watch it before I talked about it, because I did watch this the weekend that it released. And we start off with a king and his knights going into this cave where they come across this huge fire-burning dragon. And when all said and done, only the king is left. And then it fast forward centuries later in a land far away. You know, it feels very, I don't know if it'd be more Snow White, Cinderella, but like old fairy tale feeling in a way. And here is Millie Bobby Brown. She's chopping wood with full makeup on. And this is probably my biggest complaint. Not my biggest. It's one of my biggest complaints about the movie is every time you turn around, she's got full makeup on. And I don't know how it was back in those days, but I can imagine that they didn't have that type of makeup. But anyway, it appears that her father and stepmother made a match for her, as they did in those days, with a prince, of course. And so essentially, he sold his daughter for gold and food for their people, which was common for women back in the day. So again, staying to more historically accurate type of things. Oh, and did I mention her stepmother is none other than Angela Bassett? So I'll just put that out there. As they approach the castle or the place that they're going, because of course they have to take a boat to get there because it's over on the other side of whatever world we're in, and it's foggy and spooky. There's some giant stone guardians that line the entrance. It's very Lord of the Rings here. And I feel like some of this stuff stole pieces from all these other movies. Like, ooh, hey, they did that. So that looked really cool. We're going to do it in ours. Anyway, Millie Bobby Brown plays a character named Elodie. She, as I mentioned already, is the executive producer here. And she's still young enough to play this type of role, I think. But you can see her transitioning into becoming a young woman and what those type of movie roles may look like for her. I think, like I said earlier, I think we're kind of in the awkward years where she's too old to play certain parts, but too young to play others. So she kind of has to fill that maiden person in the middle. Robin Wright plays the queen, the mother of the prince. And I do just love her. I have been a fan since she played Princess Buttercup. So that also tells you, as you all know, how old I am. So not a big deal. So the night before the wedding, of course, the stepmother says, you know, don't do it. This was a mistake. We shouldn't have done this. And she doesn't listen because she's going to marry this prince and everything seems happy and great and lovely. And so off we go in a golden carriage, because the wedding was just kind of like a, here we are, you're married, voila. So we ride in our pumpkin, aka golden carriage, and go off into this ominous mountain area to pay homage to the ancestors. When they get up there, they have a whole crowd waiting, including the queen, and she's already changed her outfit from the wedding, which they transitioned really quickly. So everybody there is wearing a golden mask. And we learn that the king from the beginning of the movie had given up his three daughters to the dragon, and to the and the rest of the island would be saved. So very similar situation to which our main character finds herself in, that he had given up everything for his people, and for him that was his three daughters. So the queen tells the tale, and then she cuts her hand and her son's hand. So then they put their hands together and they're like, ooh, now it's royal blood. And the prince sweeps her up in his arms and starts to carry her back across this moat. No, not a moat. Cavern thing. So big, big hole. And there's this bridge in between. And so he carries her across and you can see it coming from a mile away because he gets to a point and then tosses her right in. So I did have to chuckle a bit because as she stood up at the bottom, because she, you know, had things that were breaking her fall on the way, so she survived the fall and she gets to the bottom and she screams. And it was a very Eleven from Stranger Things type of scream. So I had to chuckle at that because right away that was the first thing my brain thought of. So as she's at the bottom, she looks around to see all the other necklaces, like the one that she herself was wearing. And she begins to piece it together that she is some type of a sacrifice. She finds, I think it was a bat that was on fire, and she puts it out and says, oh, you poor thing, what happened to you? And then all of a sudden, there's a ton flying out. Could be a bird, could be a bat. Gut says bat because we're in a cave. So I also have to point out that the voice of the dragon, I do not know how to pronounce her name, but if you've seen Percy Jackson at all, I know she did a guest spot on Grey's Anatomy. She has a very distinctive voice, and the second I heard it, I knew it was her. Phenomenal actress. And that is one of the things going for this movie, is the talent that they had for it. Side note here, if you ever find yourself running away from something that is chasing you, don't turn around and stop, because that's when they always trip, fall, run into something, somebody's in front of them. So the moral of the story, and I think Neve Campbell says it best in Scream, where they're talking about horror movies and she's like, you know, they're always running the wrong direction up the stairs when they should be like running out the front door or fighting back or something. Same thing. Something's chasing you, just run. Just stop looking back behind you. Just keep going. There's a certain length of time in this movie that consists of Millie Bobby Brown just screaming or grunting, and it gets a little old and annoying, because that's all it's there for. Anyway, so we start to see that she's smart. She's using her head a bit. So, they, for as pretty as they were trying to make her look in the beginning, she looks better the more scuffed up and dirty she gets. So as the movie goes on and she's actually rolling around in the cave and, you know, fighting this dragon and doing different things, she actually looks better. So I don't know if the pre-stuff was overdone intentionally or if that was just kind of direction, what they wanted to do. But at some point, while she's running through here, she sees the ghosts of all the girls that came before her. And she sees a map. And I still want to know if someone was able to draw a map and escape. Why is it still happening? So if somebody was able to get out, why is this continuing to happen? But anyway, she finally gets to a point where she tears off her corset. She, you know, because now she's angry and she's going to get out determined at all costs, blah, 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 and etches her name in the wall with all the other girls that were thrown down this thing by the family. And so as I was doing some research on it, Millie Bobby Brown did an interview where she shared she did all of her own stunts for the film. And she said that she felt like the female version of Tom Cruise. I can't even say that sentence without laughing. So if you know any of like or love Tom Cruise, if you know any of the history with him and the amount of stunt work that goes into the Mission Impossible movies, she is not the female Tom Cruise. So that's a pretty big claim. She's got a lot of work to do to get there. But while I wouldn't doubt over her career, we could potentially see her in action movies like this. You know, I think she has the potential to do some pretty cool stuff in her career, given her age and what she's done already. Hopefully she'll choose good roles going forward. But anyway, so then we find out that her father must have also had some regrets, and he has returned to find her, and he's entered the caves. And what we learn now is that from the beginning, that king had found three dragon eggs. And he had them all broken and essentially killing those eggs and the dragons inside. And so when Mama Dragon came back and she killed everybody but the king, he asked to be spared. He said he would give up anything. And she said, death is not enough for you. And so she essentially had ordered that from here on out, that they were going to have to sacrifice what meant most, their girls, their princesses. And meanwhile, as the dad is inside the cave and he runs into the dragon, our main character is running around and, hard to say if she's actually still in this corset or not. I can't quite tell. Annoying as it is, the dragon itself is actually quite beautiful. But again, it sounds like the Demogorgon from Stranger Things. So it's like they took the look of Game of Thrones dragon, matched the sound of the Demogorgon. And so they're kind of piecing all these things together. But so dad is inside the cave and he meets the dragon and there's a little bit of a scuffle and he gets injured. And she gravely injured. And so our main character runs up to him and he says he made a mistake. He can't live with himself for the choice that he made. And so we see that he has his sword nearby. And of course, Elodie comes to find him in his last moments, and he is able to ask her for forgiveness for what happened as he dies, and she stands up and runs away from the sword. So didn't even grab it. She then figures out how to climb out and escapes on horseback with the dragon hot on her heels. So now the dragon is lighting essentially everything in the mountains on fire, and our favorite Robin Wright, Queen, is really pissed off because she knew that girl was trouble. And so the Queen decides to go to the ship that Elodie's family was in, where her stepmother and sister are waiting, and she takes the sister and injures stepmother. So somehow, because stepmother's a badass, she took a horse and starts riding up the mountain because she goes off to find Elodie. So when they meet, stepmother essentially gives her all the information, like, here's what happened. They came and they took your sister. And so off Elodie goes back into the mountain to go find her sister now. So the queen has now thrown the sister down the same hole after doing the same marriage ceremony with the same prince. And she's back at the bottom of this cavern cave thing, and we're essentially back to where we started. So we, like, this part is just kind of like, you can see the now I'm mad you've taken my sister type of thing. So she cuts her hair, she gathers weapons and armor, makes these trap things. It feels very Indiana Jones, MacGyver, that type of thing at this moment. And I'm pretty sure that this is where the poster from the movie came from, because this is the only time in the movie that she actually kind of looks like that. So she decides to go back and get her father's sword finally. And now we're at the point where we're confronting the dragon, and she's trying to share with the dragon that the dragon has been lied to, that the dragon thought all these years she was getting this royal blood, and the dragon shares the story of what the king did about that king had killed her daughters, the last of her line, so she will take theirs until her dying breath. Elodie then shares with her that, hey, we're not actually their daughters, and explains to her what happened and why, when the dragon senses her, she senses that royal blood because of that cut in the hands, and then they have to hold hands, and so now you have the royal blood thing. So it's a good education moment for the dragon, but they kind of fight one another a little bit. Elodie stabs her eye out, grabs her father's sword, and this is probably the best part of the whole movie, is this little back and forth and fighting, because you can see how Millie Bobby Brown actually could be an action actor person in the future, that she potentially could do these type of roles. They both get pretty injured, and Elodie notices there's this like perfect curved rock, I guess, and she can use that to have the dragon fire kill the dragon itself. And so when the dragon breathes a fire, she gets burned badly, which is, I didn't know that dragons who breathed fire could be injured by fire, but she then has time to be able to show the dragon that she's been fooled and what the cuts mean. And she finds these healing, I don't know, leeches, snails, things, slugs maybe, and then goes and heals the dragon, because now we're both pissed. Dragon's been lied to for centuries. She wants her sister back. But meanwhile, back in the kingdom, the prince is marrying yet again. And she walks in, Elodie walks in on the wedding ceremony looking like she spent days in the cave. They did have the burn scars on the wrong side, though, I noticed. So this is where Millie Bobby Brown needs to have someone that can tell her, hey, when you do this certain look, that's Eleven's look from Stranger Things, and unless you want to become your signature in all of your movies, you might want to stop doing that, because there's this part where she just like stares them down, and it's totally Eleven. That's what that look is, and maybe that is becoming her thing, but I don't know. So while she's staring at everybody, and they essentially say, you know, you can't do anything as a kid. The dragon flies overhead and burns everybody up. And the queen, her crown burns before she does, which is a little odd, because the crown then melts down, which again is very Indiana Jones, Game of Thrones, that type of thing. There is a great shot, though, of Millie Bobby Brown walking out with the dragon flying above her. Fantastic shot. Well done. But I would say this is a 3 out of 5 for me. Somewhat entertaining, but meh. As the closing credits start, we have her on a ship with the dragon flying next to her, which is, again, a very Game of Thrones shot. For me, this also feels like it's setting it up for a sequel, but not my favorite. Entertaining, yes. I like to see female characters in a lead role. I also like that it's not so much damsel in distress, somebody come save me, but I'm going to figure it out and save my damn self. But a few too many cliche type things. It was a little too predictable, and just wasn't that well done. So again, 3 out of 5, that's my take on Damsel. So that's really all I've got to share today. Take care and be well.